Well, good morning, everyone. This is Dawn by the Nash Chat, and we are joined by Jessica Ronnie from Jess Plus the Mess. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on, and I'm glad that we could connect on social media and just loved hearing about your story and look forward to sharing it today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's the beauty of social media is all these people you get to meet who you would never meet otherwise.
I know. I think sometimes social media gets a bad rap. You know, it does have some negative things, but I feel like there's so many positive things that can come out of it. Friendships, connections, and you're right. People you would otherwise not be able to have a chance to get to know.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am Jess Ronnie, otherwise known as Jess Plus the Mess, born and raised in Michigan. We moved to Tennessee about 6 years ago to the middle of nowhere, a very rural town where we found our dream house. It was a deserted house on the Tennessee River, just an absolutely beautiful property out there. Moved our 7 children at the time out to this house, and my husband began renovating it all and fixing it up and just making it our family home. And we had 30 acres and the kids roamed and loved it. And it was all fantastic until we have a son with special needs. And as he's been getting older, he will be turning 15 in August. We just felt like there weren't enough resources and support out there for him. So we began looking in the Nashville area and found a house in Gallatin. And we just kind of jump when we feel like something's right and move the day after Christmas with our now 8 children, because we had another baby, living in the middle of nowhere. And we have been thrilled living here. So many more resources for Luke, our son, and schools are so much closer for our kids. And it was just the right move at this time for our family.
Well, it sounds like you guys are very flexible. And when a new opportunity arises, you just jump for it. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And that kind of comes from our background. I've had to learn to be flexible. Just a little backdrop to my story. In 2004, I went to what I thought was a routine ultrasound appointment for my second child and was told that it appeared as if he had suffered a stroke in utero. And it was suggested that we terminate that pregnancy, which my husband at the time and I did not do. We continued with the pregnancy and gave birth to Lucas in August 2004. Went on to have another child, a daughter, a couple years later in 2007. And that's when my husband at the time, Jason, began experiencing all kinds of health difficulties and problems and continued to go to specialist after specialist. And they just kept diagnosing him with type 1 diabetes, which was really odd because he was a personal trainer and a tennis professional and was like the epitome of health and fitness, owned his own fitness club. And so this went on for some time and he continued to lose weight. And then one night he passed out on our deck and was rushed to ER, where they discovered a baseball-sized brain tumor. And that journey continued for 3 years. They removed that tumor, and we just opted for the watch and wait because it wasn't terminal at that point. So we decided to buy some time and just wait and do quarterly MRIs. And he remained steady for about a year and a half. And in that process, we got pregnant again. And then one day he went for his quarterly checkup and he called me all irritated and said, "Jess, I have to check myself into ER. The tumor's back." So that time they removed another baseball-sized tumor. This was in, gosh, I can't even hardly keep my years straight anymore, maybe 2009. And that one came back as a glioblastoma, which I knew at that point meant a life expectancy of about 19 months. And that's exactly what he lived for an additional 19 months. He passed away August 2010, and I had 4 young children, a 6-year-old, 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a baby. No, that's not right. I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. That whole point in life is really blurry. And that's kind of what my story, my memoir centers around, Sunlight Burning at Midnight, is that story. And then God's faithfulness beyond that. I don't know if you want me to jump right into that at this point or.
Yes. You know, I feel like you have a very heartbreaking story that you've really channeled into positivity and used it for good as well. So yeah, tell us what happens next in your story.
Okay. So Jason passed away August 24, 2010. And I'm a young 33-year-old widow with four young children with profound special needs, Lucas. And I'm really wondering what God has planned for my life at this point. And I'm blogging through all of this on Care Pages, so people are keeping up with me. And Halloween night, I dress up all the kids and I take them all out and put a big smile on my face and act like everything's okay and come home, get the kids in bed. And I checked my Care Pages, and a woman from Pennsylvania who had continued to follow me throughout my journey, I never met her, just left a little comment on my blog saying, "Jess, I really feel like you should check out this widower's blog in Oklahoma. He has a story very similar to yours. His wife passed away from brain cancer 4 days after Jason, and he has three young children. His kids were like 6, 4, and 1, or 6, 4, and a couple months old. And so I went to try to find his blog and I couldn't find it. And I just wrote her and said, I couldn't find his blog because I was looking on Care Pages. And she wrote back and she said, "Oh, he's not on Care Pages. He actually has a blog. This was the address." So I found it and I just left him a little comment saying, "Hey, it sounds like you've been through a lot of what I've been through. And if you ever want somebody to email or just listen, I'm here if you want to call me or email me or whatever." And just kind of left it like that. "And I'll be praying for you." Well, the next morning he left a comment on my blog, and then that turned into numerous emails and phone calls very quickly, which turned into a secret meeting in Savannah, Georgia about 2 months later, because we didn't want to bring the kids into it if it wasn't going to progress. We just wanted to see what it was. So we spent the weekend there and it was just love at first sight. And we knew we were going to spend the rest of our lives together. So the following year we were married and he moved to Michigan and he adopted my kids. I adopted his kids. And then he looked at me one day and he said, "You know, Michigan's really cold. I don't really want to stay here." And I was like, "Okay, well, so where do you want to live?" And he said, "Well, somewhere warm where we can see the sun." And we kind of landed on Tennessee, and that's how we ended up in rural Tennessee with this big house that was big enough for all of our kids and that he could spend some time renovating. And then a couple of years into Tennessee life, we looked at each other and said, "You know, it'd be really nice to have experience having a baby together." And so we did that. And now our baby will be turning 4 in June. And we're good with our 8. We're going to call it on that. Right. We're feeling that way too.
I think that's probably a good number. You know, I have 2 kiddos and some days I'm like, wow, I just don't know if I could, you know, add any more to the mix. But then I look at friends who have larger families and you just make it work. I think that's just part of being a mom. You figure out the best ways to get things done.
You do. And they're helpful. And you teach a lot of independence that maybe you don't have to teach with 2 kids. And it's just kind of a different structure and setup, I think, with bigger families.
Well, going back to your story, you know, you and I had talked earlier about how social media can play such an important part in relationship. And I love that your story, you both were bloggers and sharing your story through your loss and through the healing process. And that's the way that you all connected. And what a great thing to have come from your blogging experience.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And so tell us a little bit about your memoir and your story that you've authored.
Well, that's what I just shared is kind of the story in a nutshell, and it has continued to unfold. I'm in the process of writing the next story, really, because we're now in a blended family and we're raising a child with profound special needs. And so I think there is another book there at some point. Realizing as he gets older, there's such a lack of resources. And I feel like my story and my direction in life is being channeled more into helping these special needs families and particularly caretakers. And that's where social media has been such a blessing and being able to connect with these other moms and dads and caretakers who are raising kids very similar to Luke. And even segueing into that, when we lived in the middle of nowhere, because we had so few resources and we were so far from everything, we started a nonprofit in Lucas's honor called the Lucas Project. where we began offering monthly respite opportunities for special needs caretakers, where their child and the siblings could come for 6 hours completely free of cost, and the caretakers could take a break for a couple of hours, take a nap or go grocery shopping or go on a date or whatever that looked like for them. So our time in rural America wasn't wasted, and we actually met wonderful people out there doing fantastic work too towards this end for special families. But just for our situation, we felt that it was just becoming too difficult to live so isolated,
right,
with so many children, and we just needed more resources for all of them.
I'm sure that's definitely a challenge, not having as much, the resources that you need nearby, because it's already tough enough juggling motherhood, especially with a special needs kiddo. I feel like it takes a village, and we need as many people and help and support as we can. So I know you said you're looking to bring the nonprofit and launch that here in the near future. What are kind of the steps to getting that into place?
Well, our chapter in Savannah, Tennessee has been going strong for almost a year now, and the parents just love it out there. And initially, I felt like I wanted to give my time here in Gallatin about a year, just to make some connections and build a community. And my connections have come very quickly with other special needs families, because we do lean on each other so heavily, because it's hard to understand the daily struggles unless you're a part of that community.
Right.
And a group of women have rallied and said, we will help you get this up and going if you can get a chapter started here in Gallatin or in the Gallatin area. And basically, it's a pretty simple operation. It's, a church or a school donating space once a month, and then hiring a director each day to put on costs about $200. And that includes the director's salary, and then any marketing and, food and activities for the kids. And then just fundraising. It takes about $200 per day, and we like to offer it at least once a month so that the parents have something to look forward to. And it's just making those connections within the community where we can begin fundraising and getting people behind this idea. And I think raising awareness that special needs families really need something like this in place, because I think so often we hear about these parents who kind of lose their minds and either take matters into their own hands and end up harming their child, or they harm themselves. Because when you can't ever get that break, or you don't have those supports in place, you start to look at it like this is never going to end. And Ryan and myself, my current husband, we've looked at Luke even in a similar way. He will require lifelong care. He will always need somebody to care for him. And if you're not getting that support and those breaks, that can be a difficult path to look down, I think.
Absolutely. Even with my family, my husband, he travels for work, and some days it's just, you need that time. You need a break because you get worn down, and it's so easy to lose your patience and to lose your perspective that you need. And so I love the mission that you guys have of giving those caretakers a break, because I know it's very needed.
Well, thank you.
And we will look forward to supporting you guys and cheering you on in the process as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the life of a mom of 8 kiddos, and what are the ages of your kids now? What are the range? What's the range?
It's 3 to 16. Our oldest is 16. And, when school is in session, it's not so bad. So I'm home with a 3-year-old. She does go to a local Mother's Day Out program 2 mornings a week, so Mondays and Wednesdays. And my husband is self-employed. He flips houses for a living. So there's some flexibility there. Like today, I knew I needed a quiet house, so he's sticking around for the morning and watching her so I can get this taken care of. And the weekends are intense. I know most people really look forward to the weekends, but there are a lot of voices and a lot of chaos. And Lucas absolutely loves school, and that's been a challenge to try to figure out what to do to occupy him on the weekends. And we're in the process of trying to find some caretaking help for him as well, but we haven't been successful there yet. But it's fun. We spend a lot of time at parks eating Little Caesars pizza. And
that's one of our favorites too.
Really?
daughter, she calls it Small Caesars.
Oh, Small Caesars, right.
When she was a couple years ago, she was like, oh, let's get Small Caesars. And that's just kind of stuck with us. And we love when she says that now.
Right. And it's, you know, an inexpensive way to feed a bunch of people. And now that our big kids are getting a little bit older, our oldest does have a job at Pizza Hut. So,
the competitor.
I know. And it's helpful now that he can drive too. That's been a huge perk to having a 16-year-old is, you know, now we can say to him, hey, can you go pick up the kids at church or whatever that looks like. But there is never a dull moment. Lots of structure. And, you know, we do Saturday morning chores as a family. And then they have an opportunity to win a reward later on in the week. Like tonight, they all get their reward because they did their chores well on Saturday morning. So we're doing burgers and a hot fudge sundae bar. And
sounds like fun.
Yeah, we just try to cultivate little ways to come together. We try to eat dinner together every single night as a family. That's a big deal to us.
What does that look like, dinner time for a family of 10? I know meal planning for me, for my small family, is a challenge. How do you plan ahead or feed the crowd?
Well, you know, other countries have it figured out. And like the Italians with pasta and pizza.
Yes.
And like certain Mexican dishes or Indian dishes with a lot of rice and beans, you know, those are good fillers with a little bit of meat. And then my husband has a huge organic garden that he tends to every year. And then we also do raise chickens for meat and eggs because that's just kind of our thing, eating. I have a little bit of PTSD just related to my different experiences with my late husband and his health and then Lucas and his health. So I'm kind of particular about keeping everybody as healthy as I possibly can because I don't ever want to go through something like that again. So
well, I completely understand. You have definitely gone through a lot of valleys.
Right. But yeah, I really enjoy cooking. That's therapeutic to me. And, you know, my laundry is not therapeutic, so you'll never see like beautiful laundry, but I'm happy to put a beautiful meal on the table every night. That's fun.
Well, I know your family appreciates that as well.
I hope so.
Is there anywhere in the Gallatin area that you would suggest to people if they're passing through or stopping by or moving to that area?
We love Triple Creek Park. That is our favorite hangout with Luke because he is on this slide kick. He hollers for slides all the time. Go, wee, go on the slide. So, and they have four or five different slides. So he has his pick of all these slides and he's in heaven. And then for like a date night, Ryan and I love Prince Pizza. They have fantastic pizza and they do a live band, I think, on Thursday nights. And then, yeah, there are a bunch of good restaurants in our area, which is we are just loving exploring an area with restaurants because we come from an area with two restaurants. So it's been a nice
You're like, wow, yes.
Right.
Parks and pizza. Those are two of my favorite things too. So thank you. Next, I need to come explore Gallatin. So I'll add those to my list.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun here. Kind of a small town feel, but it's growing pretty quickly.
Oh yes. This whole area, all the little pockets around, I feel like are starting to just grow and grow.
Yep. That's what we hear.
Well, can you share with our listeners where they can find more information about your book, your nonprofit, and connect with you as well?
Yes, I can be found at justplusthemess.com. I blog about once a week. My fixation lately is on special needs and just different things that we're doing with Lucas and just bringing awareness to that whole situation. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Just Plus The Mess and YouTube, Just Plus The Mess. And I do have a Twitter account, but I'm rarely on there. So, and then
you're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. The book can be purchased just about anywhere online or right on my blog.
And tell us the name of your book again.
It's Sunlight Burning at Midnight.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Oh, and tell us one more time about the Lucas Project, too.
Oh, yes. And any information on the Lucas Project can be found at thelucasproject.org, or we are on Instagram, The Lucas Project, or Facebook, The Lucas Project. And I just started a new Instagram account to kind of detail Luke's life, and that is Life of Luke on Instagram.
Well, Jessica, I have just really enjoyed getting to know you a little bit more, hearing your story and how God brought you out of a place of heartbreak and sadness and, you know, connected you with your husband now, and just how he's used you to help special needs families and to be a resource for them. And I just think that's such a beautiful story that he's created for you all.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks again. And we look forward to hearing from you more.
All right. Thanks for having me.